SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line, hour number two, live right here on Sports Grid, which on this Thursday morning, Kevin Walson, Donnie Wrightside. A lot of good stuff coming for this hour. We're going to, of course, preview the NBA draft, look at what the Detroit Pistons might be doing at the number one overall pick. And we've heard a lot of rumors about them, you know, being called about trades. Are we positive that they will select at one? We'll break that all down. We'll also preview the Major League Baseball board. Still some good action out there for us in that respect. But I want to talk about the NFL. The news and notes continue to pour in, of course, as we get closer and closer to the season being in full effect. Really, once we hit August, this thing is going to pick up, and we are not far away. I want to start with the Randall Cobb situation and kind of pair that with the Aaron Rodgers press conference yesterday. This, of course, was making a lot of headlines. Some real honesty from Rodgers. Said, yeah, I absolutely did consider retirement. And this Randall Cobb move, what's so fascinating about it is there is not even a sugarcoating of, oh, we wanted to bring Cobb back. We think Cobb's a good fit. We think we need wide receivers. It's just Aaron told us to bring Randall Cobb back to the team, and we brought Randall Cobb back to the team. The Packers are 12-1 to win the Super Bowl here. Donnie, what do you make of this move with Cobb being back in Green Bay?
It doesn't hurt, and I think I could say that here. They didn't give up much for him because Bill O'Brien signed him to a ridiculous contract to begin with down in Houston. So now I believe Austin Houston's floating some money back to Green Bay, but it's just done to appease Aaron Rodgers. Will it help out on the field? Probably marginally. These two guys know each other. They know exactly the routes, the playbooks, and how each one of these guys thinks. You know, think back to those Wes Welker days, you know, with Tom Brady, Edelman. You just knew that guy where he was when a blitz was coming off the end. Both of you guys were in tune, and that's a quick, you know, 7-8 yard pickup here. Keep the chains moving. Who'll be able to do that? And also keep in mind, you're not bringing Randall Cobb back to the Green Bay Packers so he can be the number one overall wide receiver. Keep in mind, you have maybe the best overall wide receiver in Adams already there. So adding another guy into the slot here just to help out Aaron Rodgers. And I think this was one of those moves, Kevin, where you saw the press conference, which was very candid. And it's refreshing to hear a professional athlete that's been in the league for 17 years knowing where his standing is to say, hey, look, I'm not going to air, you know, dirty laundry just to put it out there and cause some friction here. Let me take you step by step with what I was thinking over the offseason. And he made it a point a few times, Kevin, in that press conference to actually say it wasn't my side leaking this stuff out here. It was coming from the Green Bay side. You know, was I going to retire? Did I want to move on? I was unhappy. We were trying to play this close to the vest behind closed doors and get this situation figured out. But bringing Randall Cobb back, this is one of those first tests of powers to say, hey, you know, when you're young, you get a brand new car. Dad gives you the keys. You know, you drive around the corner real nice and slow. But the minute you're out of dad's sight, you start, you know, doing some, you know, donuts in the parking lot and, you know, really popping the clutch and getting after it. This is like Aaron Rodgers going, okay, let's just see it here. We had everything was fine and good behind the closed doors. Let's see how we can move on in the NFL season this year. But, oh, yeah, you know what? Give me Randall Cobb back. And you just sit back in your chair and be like, let me see how much power I have here. Hey, by the way, Aaron, just made the deal. Randall Cobb's coming back to town. Okay, so it looks like a future maybe for me is still going to be in Green Bay because they actually are listening to me now, Kevin.
I wonder, though, again, like if they're like, all right, Aaron, anything you think we need to do? And he's like, get me Randall Cobb. And they're like, all right, you drive a hard deal. And then they close the door and they all just died laughing for 15 minutes straight and offered the Texans a bag of bones. And we're like, hey, Aaron, look, we got to make it work. Sixth round pick. They picked up it. What are we even doing here? Look, we'll bring the radio audience into the fold. We appreciate all those listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. All of our radio affiliates hanging out with us here on this Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside talking about the Packers bringing in Aaron Rodgers bringing in Randall Cobb. Here's the thing, though, Donnie, right? If we then didn't play this nonsensical will I, won't I game with Rodgers all summer long, could he then have done this with Julio? Like, you know what I mean? Like, again, like we ended up getting, this is his power move, Randall Cobb.
You're correct. And now, look, it's a great point you bring up. So now let's just say next year comes up in the offseason. Let's say they don't win the Super Bowl, Kevin, but they get close. And he sits back and goes, you know what? I would really like another wide receiver. And you say, well, hold on. We still haven't, maybe we haven't signed Davante Adams to a long-term deal yet. But he can just say then, say, okay, if you don't get me wide receiver X here, I'm going to exercise my option here and say, you know what? We talked about it before. Why don't you just trade me then if you're not going to give me what I want? It's fascinating to watch because as we talk about Major League Baseball and the trade deadline, Kevin, about who's actually going all in at this time, who now can go all in with the Green Bay Packers? You have Aaron Rodgers for a short amount of time here while he's still an MVP caliber quarterback. Why not press all in? Just get him a dominant football team and make one last run at it.
It's going to be really interesting to follow. Their win total, their odds to win the division, nothing on the move post-Cobb deal. I got to bring up a Dak Prescott story here, and this is one of those interesting ones. There was a report yesterday that he's dealing with a shoulder injury, had an MRI on it, and it's not something, according to the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, does a great job with us here on the network. He said it's not a nothing injury, not necessarily telling you that it's going to cost him regular season games, but will cost him a bit of time, at the minimum, Donnie, during training camp.
Yeah, dead arm. If anybody's ever played football or even watched football, even at the pro level here, there's a reason why they signed four or five quarterbacks heading into camp, because you don't want your number one overall guy throwing 70 to 80 reps every single day, twice a day. So it does make sense. He does have a little bit of arm fatigue, but the fact that he went in and got an MRI was a little bit disturbing to me, Kevin. Usually just shut him down, say, hey, only throw about 10, 15 passes tomorrow. We'll save on that arm. But the fact that the MRI came up here, maybe something to watch for the rest of the summer here for the Dallas Cowboys.
Again, Dak coming off a massive injury, not related to the shoulder, but still something to keep in mind. The fifth best odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win NFL MVP. The early line continues next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here on the early line. A couple more NFL stories that I just want to button up here before we transition to the NBA draft. The first one is a report from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk saying that the Eagles are continuing to monitor the Deshaun Watson situation. The article or the report goes on to say that the Eagles have long been considered the favorites to land Deshaun Watson if a deal is ultimately made here, Donnie. It's one of those things where I know that some people are unsure how to feel about the Watson situation. They're unsure how this is necessarily going to play out. But I think, you know, if people are out there maybe looking to try and get in front of this thing, playing an Eagles win total, the Eagles to make the playoffs, and just beating a number before a move potentially goes down. But then again, maybe you don't see this actually playing out this way.
It's incredible to watch. It really is. And who's to say, let's just say if Deshaun Watson didn't have any legal issues here, he's certainly still wanted out of Houston. Keep in mind, he asked out of Houston before all of these lawsuits and all of these complaints came in from the offseason itself. So the Eagles always lined up as a front runner. They're looking to make a move at quarterback, but so are the Denver Broncos. But also, you take a look, you know, even to a further projection here before everything went down out there in the NFC West, maybe the 49ers were in on Deshaun Watson, and also maybe the Los Angeles Rams were in on Deshaun Watson. So just watching this is fascinating because it seems like it's down to two teams right now, Kevin. Everybody else seemingly settled in on their quarterback position, who they actually want. But now you're still left with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I can't help but think, like, when you take a look at Jalen Hurts, he was decent down the stretch last year, but the Eagles made no bones about it in the offseason. Usually you say, Jalen is our starter. We drafted him to be our starter. We traded Carson Wentz because Jalen is going to be our starting quarterback. You got nothing out of that in the offseason, which always leaves the door open. And Howie Roseman making moves. You have the possibility. You already have two first-round draft picks, Kevin, here, coming in the next draft. And if Carson Wentz plays a certain amount of time with the Indianapolis Colts and or they make the playoffs, that turns into three first-round draft picks. Now, Deshaun Watson goes into Houston. He's in because why? He doesn't want to get fined, and he wants to make some money, keep his bonuses, and not fine $50,000 or $15,000 a day, whatever it is, for each day of camp that he misses. But I can't imagine this, Kevin, that he is going to be with the Houston Texans for this season and be in a backup role at that money till things get figured out. I would have been shocked and astounded here. I thought, you know, maybe the Texans would move on from him as soon as this week once camp has started. Mm-hmm. But you can't trade for a guy with this many legal issues coming up. And also, it's not as if, Kevin, any team, the Denver Broncos or the Philadelphia Eagles, just say, are going to flip like a fifth-round pick and say, ah, if it doesn't work out and he gets suspended, it was only a fifth-round pick. We're talking about multiple picks here, 2 to 3 first-rounders, yeah, players involved. You can't do that and have a guy sit an entire year or a year and a half.
That, of course, I think is the hang-up. The Texans cannot move on from this guy for pennies on the dollars. And whoever the team is that's making the phone call, the Eagles in this case, cannot move heaven and earth for a player that may never play another snap in the NFL. And, of course, that's going to be the situation to continue to monitor with Deshaun Watson. One more thing I want to bring up here. Typically, this is, to me, nothing type of information, but it does stand out, Donnie. There's only one first-round pick that is unsigned. It's the number 2 overall pick in Zach Wilson. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Why is this guy not already signed with the Jets? What's going on?
It doesn't make any sense here. And this just goes to show you what type of organization the Jets are. Now, Joe Douglas is a very good GM to me. And I know around the league, he actually was with the Philadelphia Eagles and Howie Roseman. They teamed up on that Super Bowl run, had many years in the Ravens front office. He's really good at his job. But this comes down from the top. We're talking about language in a contract. You think the GM and the head coach are like, hey, you know what? Make sure the language is right here, because if he doesn't turn out to be good, maybe we'll save $5 million on his contract. And to me, this just goes to show you, let me tell you, you drafted a kid this high, you're worried about language where maybe if he's not so good, you can cut bait after like year 3 or 4 in this contract. Why did you draft the guy anyway? So it just comes down from the Johnson ownership, from the top level, just not being able to get this across the finish line. There's no reason to believe this should not have already been done. But also, you're taking a look at a kid from BYU. You know, you see the upbringing that he has. Not that it's going to cause any problems or friction in the locker room. He's a talented individual. But maybe does this have something like, hey, look, we really would want you to get the COVID-19 shot. You don't want to get it. So maybe we're ensuring ourselves that if something goes wrong, we know ahead of time that you weren't going to get it. There's a lot of legalities that go into this. But in order to have an upright franchise heading into a season, this is your quarterback. Why are you making waves here early on in the young kid's career? Like, hey, the Jets might not have believed in me. Do you see what they were trying to put in my contract for the language in case I didn't perform up to standards or capabilities? Insanity that he's not signed here, Kevin.
Third best odds to win the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. It's an interesting number as long as he's out there on the field. I don't know what leverage the Jets have. What are they going to not sign their first round pick, the number 2 overall selection? I'm sure it'll get done. It's just odd that we're still waiting on that news. Let's talk a little bit about the NBA draft, though. It is absolutely on the come up right now. Tonight on Sports Grid, I'll let everybody know, a little programming update from 8 to 12 Eastern Time, 8 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. It'll be myself alongside Ben Stevens and Coach James Young with you for a live NBA draft show, breaking down all of the results, live odds potentially, and any trades that might be coming. Donnie, very, very excited for this action.
No, it should be fun to watch. And also, you know, just a couple questions here as we take a look heading into the NBA draft tonight. And we always like to look at the top of the draft, Kevin, right? We want to see who the superstar players are coming in. It looks like the Detroit Pistons here have a can't-miss guy in Cade Cunningham. I know you're being a big LeBron backer over the years, one of the greatest single players all time in the NBA. Of course, he was a number 1 overall draft pick. We've heard the rumors out here and also, you know, the innuendos. Maybe there would be a trade a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, once we found out exactly who was going to get the number 1 overall pick. But it looks like it's going to be Cade Cunningham. And I don't even want to talk about trading the pick, moving down, because I think we know who the number 1 overall pick is going to be. Kevin, answer me this. Over the last 15 to 20 years in the draft, if you're the Detroit Pistons, is there optimism to believe that you might be getting a future 5 to 10 time All-Star with this number 1 overall pick?
100%. Like, the reality is, Cade going to Oklahoma State was something that I was initially upset about, Donnie. And I don't know how NBA evaluators would have felt, because it just felt like a nothing roster. They had the postseason ban. It was the greatest thing of all time. It forced him to work on different areas of his game. He became an elite-level pull-up shooter, basically because a lot of the other guys on his team could not do that. And he has always been a high pedigree talent. And now he will enter your team in Detroit. And look, he'll be accustomed to maybe playing with some subpar pieces. You saw him perform on the biggest stage into the NCAA tournament there. So I think they absolutely do have themselves a can't-miss guy. And that's part of the reason, Donnie, why I think he's minus 6,000 to go number one overall. Because there have been rumors around this pick. There has been talks that the Pistons really, really like Jalen Green. That number has been unwavering, though. And I think that has a lot to do with how good Cade is.
And it's a great couple points you bring up here, because this guy can carry a franchise. You need superstar talent. We've had a little bit of down years here for Detroit basketball. Maybe they bounce back. But, Kevin, obviously we are sports gamblers. We look at the odds. Yesterday we had a hot or not on the top four draft picks to go and in what order. And take a look at this today. We do have some movement. Now a minus 210 for the top four draft picks, and that includes Cunningham, Green, Mobley, and Suggs in that order, now sits at minus 210. So as we get closer to draft time tonight, obviously everybody's looking for that last bit of ingredients, that last bit of information they can surf and find on social media. But it looks like this one is moving in the right direction. Do you see any upsets possibly over the first four draft picks here that would upset that?
I'm glad you brought this up, because I just want to make the point. We talked about this during Hot or Not yesterday, whether that bet had value. And I was on the not side, Donnie was on the hot side, and Donnie was right. At the end of the day, minus 138 turned into minus 210. Like, that's value, and it's certainly projected to cash. I do still think there is room for an upset with Scotty Barnes getting to the fourth overall pick. Let me just say this, though. Scotty to go fourth is plus 300. The better bet would be Suggs to go fifth at plus 470. The top five is solidified, even if maybe the order could potentially move a little bit around on draft night. So much to get to here. Everything starts with the Detroit Pistons. We will talk more about their upcoming decision and the rumors around them next here on the Early Line.
Expert perspectives.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside hanging out with you on NBA Draft Day. The Pistons are on the clock, and to help us break it all down is Matt Derry. You can follow him on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, and host the Pistons Pod, which you can find over at Pistons.com. Matt, thanks so much for joining us here on the Early Line.
Anytime, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Excited to certainly talk, Matt, about what the Pistons will be doing at the number one overall pick. Here's where I'll start right now. You're obviously there. You can kind of get the feeling. Does it seem like the fan base wants Cade Cunningham? I know he recently was at a Detroit Tigers game. Does this feel like what that fan base is clamoring for, the Oklahoma State star?
It is, Kevin and Donnie. I think that when you look at the situation in Detroit, the Pistons right now in town, whether it's right or wrong, they're number four, okay? The Lions are the king. We know NFL rules. The Tigers are two in terms of fandom and excitement, even though that organization is god-awful. The Red Wings are rebuilding, but they've got Steve Yzerman, the Iser plan. I mean, the guy walks on water in this town. And then here come the Pistons kind of like, oh, yeah, we got an NBA team here. Forgot about that. When this thing is cooking, whether it was the Bad Boys or whether it was the going-to-work team in the mid-2000s, this town gets crazy for their basketball. Here comes a ping-pong ball that finally bounces their way, and they get the number one pick. It's almost like you have to take Cade because it's the name, Cade. He takes over this town. Stafford's gone. You know, right now it's like Akil Badu's town. Right? I mean, Jared Goff. I mean, so, yeah. Like, so they need something. So to sit here and say, well, Troy Weaver's a wheeler and dealer as a general manager, and Troy's done a fantastic job in year one heading into year two, to trade back, trade down, not take Cade, I think that affects the entire sports landscape here in the city. It's not just about the basketball.
Yeah, sometimes you have to get a little bit lucky there, Matt. And if I can equate it to my Sixers fandom here, you know, through the 80s, you had the Dr. J championships after 1983, but they sort of fell in some hard times. Charles Barkley, their superstar athlete, wanted out of town. And then we hit the doldrums of the early 90s, where the only thing that we would talk about is, like, you know, Manute Bol, Sean Bradley, the ugly uniforms that the Sixers had. Then the ping pong ball bounced the right way. We got Allen Iverson. That trajectory over the next 7 to 8 years in Philadelphia was so much fun to watch it actually play out. They didn't culminate with a championship. One of my favorite seasons of a team that didn't win a championship was the 2000-2001 76ers, bolstered by Allen Iverson. Is there that feel in town, Matt, that now you have that number one overall pick and maybe what Cade Cunningham can translate into to bring you guys back to those glory days that you talked about?
Donnie, I think that's a great call. I remember covering a Pistons-Sixers playoff series. Might have been the year that the Pistons won it all, and Iverson left the game. He goes out in the back into the locker room. When he comes back out, it was like a Willis Reed moment, and that was just the second round of the playoffs. I'm with you on that. This does feel like it has that feel that this organization needs a superstar. Really, the last superstar that the Pistons had was Grant Hill, and that was between the Bad Boys and obviously the Ben Wallace-led and Chauncey Billups-led championship team, which really that was five great starters with Rasheed and Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, and those other two. But, yeah, it does have that feel of if Cade can come in and be the real deal and be that guy that can help sell tickets, it will really catapult and kind of energize the organization. Organization already feels good, okay? Troy Weaver has done a fantastic job in year one. He's brought in the likes of Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart, some really nice free agent signees, including Jeremy Grant. So they were bad last year in terms of wins and losses, but they were exciting to watch, and some people latched on. Now you get the number one overall pick and a chance to get a guy like Cade. And yes, I think they like Jalen Green. I think they like Evan Mobley. But I think in the long run, in the big picture, I think a superstar that can play so many different positions and everything else, I think he's the fit. I think he's the guy.
I'll tell you this, man. There will be no slander of last year's Pistons team from me. They constantly covered, despite being awful. I loved that group. I don't know how they did it. Speaking, though, of betting markets, Matt, Cade Cunningham is a minus 6,000 favorite to be the first pick. But that's first pick. It doesn't mean the Pistons have to make that selection. How legitimate do you think it was in terms of the Pistons considering moving on from this pick going, even if it was just down to the second overall selection? And do you think there could still be some legitimacy to those rumors?
I think it's legitimate based on Troy Weaver is not one of these that's just going to sit there and say, nope, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home with the pick. We're making the pick. I think he's looked at everything. He's that comprehensive as a general manager. He's got a really good staff around him. I'm sure he's had conversations. I can't confirm this, but I think he's talked to Houston for sure. I know Cleveland has called and some others. There were the rumors about Oklahoma City and his former boss, Sam Presti, who he worked for years. We'll give you Shea, SGA for, you know, and six for one. I'm sure all those things came up. But I think in the end he's going to make this pick, and I think it's going to be Cade Cunningham. But knowing Troy Weaver and all the moves that he made, and just, I mean, he just bombarded the roster last year, just destroyed it and built it back up, and no one thought he would do that. And he did, and look how successful, like you said, they were in every game last year, and they tanked, but they tanked with some dignity. They played hard for Dwayne Casey every night.
Matt, you have your ear to the ground with the Detroit fan base in this, and yes, you have the number one overall pick. Has there been any discussions from a fan perspective if they do make a deal, what it would look like? But particularly, do the fans even want them to make a deal? Would that be a disappointment if, hey, we got a, you know, plethora of NBA talent here for the number one overall pick? Do the fans want this number one overall pick to be Cade Cunningham? Is there any chatter out there that they wouldn't mind seeing maybe a plethora of picks coming back for that number one overall pick tonight, Matt?
Donnie, I know what you're getting at. You want me to say, oh, yeah, the fans here want Ben Simmons, and get him off your hands.
Yeah.
I read right through you.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's be honest here. If the Pistons traded for Ben Simmons, I don't think people here would be very happy. And again, I wish more fans would hop on board and get back on this bandwagon. And I think they will tonight, and it's a Thursday night, and I believe the Tigers are playing, but I don't think people are lined up to go crazy to watch baseball tonight. I think people will be intrigued that finally our team in town got this number one pick. I mean, you got to go back years. Joe Dumars running the team, Stan Van Gundy running the team, Ed Stefanski for a couple years, where just the ping pong balls would not bounce their way. You mentioned before the Tiger game against Texas last week. The fans spotted Cade Cunningham and started yelling, "We want Cade." This is a great sports town, and the fans are pretty good, and they know. I think that's what they want. I don't think there would be any kind of a deal that would get them excited. You know, if someone told a guy on Woodward Avenue, our main drag here in the city, "Hey, you're going to get Colin Sexton in number 3 instead of Cade Cunningham," I think majority of the people wouldn't even know who that is.
So, I mean, look, at the end of the day, the Tigers do play tonight. They're playing the Orioles. Like, they really should have the broadcast up, like, on the big board out there, at least just for the number one overall selection. Like, I don't think it'll pull anyone's attention away from that game tonight. But let me ask you, though, Matt, obviously they pick one. That'll be the deal. But do you think that this team will be active? Do you think you'll see Weaver try to maybe come back up into the first round here? Are there any late-round names that the Pistons have been connected to?
I will say this. They've been very secretive about who they like in outside of Cunningham and Jalen Green and Evan Mobley in terms of what they're going to do. Remember this. Last year, the Pistons had one first-round pick, and that was Killian Hayes at 7. Then all of a sudden, they move into the back into the first round with a trade, and they draft Isaiah Stewart at 18. Then they make another trade, and they move up to 19 to get Sadiq Bey. And 18 and 19, those two guys were two of their better players last year, and better than Killian Hayes, who was hurt. To sit here and tell you that I think Troy Weaver is going to sit on all three of those second-round picks and use all of them in that order, no way. I think he will move back into the first round late if there's somebody that he likes. Troy Weaver is looking for, and he has made this comment a couple of times, is he's looking for Pistons, guys that play hard, good in the community, lunch pail guys. You know, Sadiq Bey played hard last year. Isaiah Stewart was a monster last year. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a big late in the first round, and I don't have a name for you off the top of my head, but that they would move up to get, that would be a guy, you know, a kind of a glue piece that they would want.
Interesting stuff here in the NBA draft. Now, we got a Detroit guy. We know football season just got underway. We have a short segment here left here. I just want to ask you, Matt, thoughts on the street for the Detroit Lions? Because as I read the headlines here, hey, Dan Campbell sleepless before his first practice. Are we biting kneecaps already out of training camp? Give us the good word on the Lions right now.
Why did I know that was coming? The whole I'm past kneecap biting because I'm tired of hearing it. But for people nationally and watching the Sports Grid show, and you guys here on the Early Line, I listen when I can in my car, and I appreciate what you guys do. Big Pharrell fan too, but the kneecap biting, I think now it's time to let's see what he has in terms of the material on the field. Let's see if Dan Campbell can actually coach. We know he wins press conferences. Can he win games? I think it's going to be a tough first year. I know the number moved already. Once Aaron Rodgers announced that he was coming back and walked into the Packers facility the other day, the Lions' total number of wins went from 5 to 4.5. So people, I think, in Vegas went, uh-oh, Rodgers is definitely playing. Well, there's 2 losses for the Lions. I think they're going to be better. I do, and I think Campbell will have a good cultural influence, but I think this is going to take a couple of years.
Matt, we appreciate hanging out with us here on the Early Line. Again, that is Matt Derry. Go follow him over there at Derry Speaks on Twitter. I'm sure we'll bring him back during the NFL season. The Early Line continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line. Awesome stuff there from Matt. Really, really excited for tonight's NBA draft. Once again, tonight on Sports Grid, 8 to midnight Eastern time. It'll be myself, Ben Stevens, and, of course, Coach James Young with all of your live NBA draft betting coverage. So make sure you do hang out with us there tonight during the NBA draft. Cade Cunningham, an overwhelming favorite to start things off here. I'm hoping we get some more markets as it pertains to the NBA draft. We'll certainly be keeping our eyes peeled for that. But look, still got a Major League Baseball board that needs to be broken down here and trying to find some value here. The New York Yankees are going to be taking the field once again against the Tampa Bay Rays. And Gerrit Cole is a minus 126 favorite. We mentioned this yesterday, the number on the Yanks. I was like, man, they look like a little bit of a live dog. I don't know, Donnie. I mean, Luis Patino is on the mound right now for the Rays. Am I wrong in saying that the Yankees tax right now feels gone? I mean, minus 126 on Gerrit Cole. Am I walking into a trap and I just don't know it?
I don't know if it's a trap that you're walking into, but here's the problem that we have with the New York Yankees, Kevin. It's not from the starting pitching. It really isn't. And yeah, Aroldis Chapman has been as sharp as he's been, you know, since April and May, maybe a little bit of doctoring the baseball, whatnot, but it really comes from the bats. Let's take a look once again last night. Michael Wacha was on the mound. Kevin, he can't get right-handed batters out and got him out repeatedly last night versus the New York Yankees. Now you take a look at Patino, another righty on the mound. Now look at his numbers again over the last 30 days. A 5.98 xFIP number, strikes out less than 20% of the batters that he does face. You need to be able to hit this guy. But I can't get enough of this Yankees lineup. We don't think Joey Gallo is probably going to be in the lineup today. That would be a surprise, particularly meaning that this is an afternoon game as opposed to a night game where he can get acclimated. But again, look at the lineup versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days for the New York Yankees, Kevin. Every single player outside of Urshela at a 378 is below the median, which is 320 for a weighted on base average. Do we just expect them to hit? They should have hit last night versus Michael Wacha. They won, but they still didn't hit. Are we just supposed to say that they're going to wake up today and bang around a bad right-handed pitcher that they just saw last night and couldn't do? I don't trust the Yankees just yet. Do I think Gerrit Cole is going to have a good pitching performance? Absolutely. Down in Tropicana Field, the ball doesn't travel all that well. I would not be surprised, Kevin. 6 1/3, 7 1/3 innings, 1 or 2 earned runs, keeping the Yankees in the ballgame. But the question always is, will the Yankees be able to hit? I'm not so sure.
It's incredible. Yesterday's game, like, just real, like yeah, Yonder's likely the play there. It went to extra innings, and there was no sweat in terms of if you bet the under. It's almost impossible in Major League Baseball. like, oh, man, I can't believe they got to, it was 1-1. Yanks won the game 3-1. What a big opportunity, though, with Cole on the mound for the Yanks to potentially nab a sweep of the Tampa Bay Rays. Although, again, it'd be very Yankees for them to somehow lose this game, 6-1. That's probably the way this would work here. I want to bring up Nats Phillies. There's a doubleheader slated for today. This is really interesting because, one, we don't know if they're going to play. Like, the fact that they slated a doubleheader, they scheduled a doubleheader, it seems, Donnie, like they anticipate that they are going to play. We don't necessarily have all of the specifics on who is and who isn't playing for the Nationals. We don't have lines for this game. I know you're not much of a doubleheader better anyway, but this is going to be really interesting to see what kind of a lineup and what kind of pitching is available for Washington here today.
You're 100% correct here in this because we're anticipating playing a doubleheader, Kevin, but keep in mind, we know Trey Turner tested positive for COVID, but we don't know the rest of the players. And also keep in mind, how many times have we seen COVID outbreaks in the previous season saying, hey, all right, so you had a one-day outbreak, and then day two, another guy or another three guys test positive. Day three, more guys test positive. This isn't one of those things that goes away right away. They're going to contact Trace to make sure they get the people closest to Trey Turner. But also, this isn't just Trey Turner. There were 12 people that tested positive, 4 of being players. We still don't know who the other 3 were and if you have contact tracing on the other part of your organization. They've been very tight-lipped overnight. And also keep in mind, Kevin, this isn't like a 7:10 start tonight. We have all afternoon to figure this out. First pitch is supposed to be at 12:05 today for this doubleheader. Mm-hmm. And we're really anticipating Vince Velasquez going on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies and Max Scherzer this close to the trade deadline. I would be surprised if they don't play today. But my goodness here, can we at least know who the players are that tested positive and maybe are going to be singled out for contact tracing? You might get a shell of a lineup both ways, and I'm not even sure if Max Scherzer is going to make it to the mound, and if it's even right if he does, because if he doesn't test positive and he's not close on the contact tracing, should he start? Yes, but theoretically, if you're looking to deal him, why are you putting him on the mound for one more chance? You're not making a run to the playoffs right now. Your best advantage is to flip Max Scherzer for some major prospects and get on with the rest of your season.
How in the world they could possibly think sending Max Scherzer out there makes any sense is beyond me. You're sellers, and you're looking to hit a massive payday in terms of trading him for a haul of assets with all three NL West contenders calling your phone nonstop looking to make a move. It does not seem like it would make any sense to let Max Scherzer go out there. I know he's a competitor. It would be quite surprising. Let's talk about some more games here that we do have lines available to bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We've got the closeout game for the Dodgers and the Giants. It's David Price. It's Johnny Cueto. It feels like we've hopped in a time machine with those two names pitching in a big game here, but it's just basically the nature of the rotations. The total, 8.5. I mean, Donnie, do we get a game where pregame it feels like we're going to get runs? I mean, they just scraped out an over 7.5 last night. Tonight, we're looking again here at an 8.5.
Yeah, the common theme seems to be taking unders and also usually close games outside of last night. But it looks like David Price is going to take the mound here for the Los Angeles Dodgers. If we take a look at David Price over the last 30 days here, he's done well here. 3.86 xFIP number, handling his business between both righty and lefty batters, but also taking a look at some elevated guys in the lineup for the San Francisco Giants, particularly versus left-handed pitching over the last 30 days. Slater, a 403 weighted on base average. Yastrzemski, 393. Ruff, 558. And Solano, 374. But the numbers I want to sort of focus on here would be from a Dodgers perspective at the plate. Johnny Cueto not having a great year, but how about this over the last 30 days, Kevin? A 3.76 xFIP. Cueto is a right-handed pitcher handling his business from the right-hand side. 48 batters that he's faced, Kevin, over the last 30 days. A 314 weighted on base average, which is below average, which is great. And also a 156 ISO power number that is slightly below the Major League Baseball average. So he's handling his business from that side. But from the left-hand side, it tells a different story. 39 batters he's faced over the last 30 days from the left-hand side, a 360 weighted on base average, and an ISO power number of 429. Looking at the lineup today for the Los Angeles Dodgers, anticipated to be in as from the left side, Muncy, Bellinger, McKinstry, and McKinney. So you got four batters there. If we take a look at the one batter you want to keep an eye on, if lefties are able to get after Johnny Cueto, that is Muncy in the 2-0 here. A 340 ISO power number, Kevin, over the last 30 days, which spans 65 at-bats versus right-handed pitching and a weighted on-base average of 408. Maybe we get runs today, but looking at this series and how closely they are aligned, I still lean on the under, but there are some bats that can do some damage both ways.
I want to make this point for today's games. Now, Dodgers-Giants, I'm not sure how much it would potentially factor in because they're more buyers than sellers, but look, you want to get the best of the number always, but it certainly could pay to wait a little bit closer to game time. Then again, what are you going to do if a guy gets pulled in the middle of a game? Not really much of anything, but we're getting closer to the deadline. We saw it yesterday. People are not going to just wait till Friday, 4 o'clock here. I think things are a little too competitive in terms of these markets to land players. You want to make sure that when you bet a game and you're betting it because of player X, Y, and Z, that they're actually out there and they're getting involved for you. And maybe the best example of that is Reds-Cubs. Before we even break down where this game stands in Wrigley Field, let me bring up a on-the-fly variation of hot or not here, basically, Don. Like, we've got Baez, Bryant, Rizzo, Kimbrel. How many of those four guys are about to be taking Wrigley Field as their home ballpark for the last time today?
I would say at least two of those there. You're looking to get rid of Kimbrel, and there should be a market because if they're rebuilding, and I don't know why the Cubs, again, I get back to this original point, rebuilding is ridiculous for the Chicago Cubs in that big market, but Kimbrel should be able to go. Now, you're looking at trading Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. Are you going to trade them for, like, you know, 10 cents on the dollar at this point? Are you going to hold out and say, well, there's still an option that we can re-sign these guys at the end of the season? And they're not all the way out of the wild card race technically just yet with roughly 60 games to go. But a hot or not segment to me, I think at least two of those guys are moved here before the deadline, and would not be surprised, Kevin, if three of the four are moved before the deadline.
Yeah, realistically, I think, like, if you set the over at two, I'd bet the over, because to me, Kimbrel and Bryant are absolutely gone. It seems like the Giants are making legitimate momentum potentially on that Chris Bryant move. I don't see any world in which Craig Kimbrel remains. What do you need a closer for if you're sellers in the Chicago Cubs? You don't. You're going to move Kimbrel. That's quite obvious. It feels like one of Rizzo or Baez are gone. I'll put it to you like this. It's more likely all four are gone than only one, in my estimation. That's how I see this playing out here today. They are plus 110 against Luis Castillo, who quietly, now it looks like the Reds are more buyer than sellers, so that does make some sense here. But Luis Castillo, Donnie, a disaster start to his season. He has really turn things around since we hit June. He has been lights out for this Reds team.
Yeah, take a look at his last 30 days, Kevin. XFIP number 3.97, which is great. And how about lefties and righties combined here? Weighted on base average to lefties, keep in mind Castillo, right-handed pitcher, 298 with an ISO power number of .040. Sensational numbers. Take a look at the opposite side from the right-hand side. 190 weighted on base average and a .048 over the last 30 days. You're right, turning that season around. But also keep in mind in this game, do the Reds need anybody else down the stretch outside of Joey Votto, who continues to hit multiple home runs every single game? If you're going to get two home runs every game out of Joey Votto for the rest of the season, maybe the Cincinnati Reds are going to wind up winning the World Series. Absolutely hot when they need him most. Taking a look at Nick Castellanos, still out of the lineup for a majority of the past few weeks and maybe a few weeks more. But Joey Votto stepping up at his elderly age here. But you are correct. Luis Castillo, fantastic over the last month.
He, again, like, he has been absolutely wonderful for this team. Over 60 innings pitched since June, he has given up only 12 earned runs, a sub-2 ERA since June. And but just so people know, like, his ERA in the month of May was an 8. Like, this guy was getting hammered. He has absolutely started to spin that around, and that obviously is a big deal for them. Let's bring up Red Sox Blue Jays quickly here, Donnie. Minus 116 on Boston. Eduardo Rodriguez against Hyunjin Ryu. Another high total here at Fenway Park of 10.
Yeah, maybe we'll get some run. Yesterday, doubleheader, Kevin, and I guess you could set your watch to teams splitting doubleheaders in these seven-inning affairs. So we'll see what happens tonight on the base pass. Hyunjin Ryu, last 30 days, a 4.71 XFIP number, getting rocked by lefties. Keep in mind, Ryu is a left-handed pitcher. 5.10 weighted on base average and an ISO power number of 379. You're not going to get too many guys in the lineup tonight for Boston from the left side. Verdugo and Duran. Outside of that, Ryu should have a decent game because he's holding down right-handed batters, Kevin. A 259 weighted on base average and an ISO power number of .039. Flipping it over to Eduardo Rodriguez, decent pitcher as well. I like Toronto in this game tonight to get the victory.
Certainly would be a big momentum boost for that group. Coming up next year on the Early Line, Ariel Epstein joins Don. He'll let you know what's coming up on the morning after.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Segment of the day for the Early Line on Thursday. Boy, this week is moving quickly. The NBA draft takes center stage tonight. But before that goes down, how about this? The morning after from 9 to 12, hosted by Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. They got you covered over the next 3 hours. All the latest hot topics. Welcome into the show and good morning on a Thursday, Ariel.
Hey, Donnie. I know this week has gone pretty fast. It probably is because we've had so much drama throughout the NFL and college football. Yeah. Now we have Major League Baseball trade deadline heating up and the NHL free agency. Oh, and let's not forget the NBA draft is tonight.
No, absolutely. And we do a show at night on the radio, both myself and Kevin Walsh, In Play Sports Tonight. Sort of hijacked yesterday, Ariel, once Joey Gallo went to the New York Yankees, so we turned it into a Yankee fest and party. But you are right. Coming down the backstretch here, some of these teams are going to try to improve themselves as they make a run towards the playoffs. Also, some big NFL news coming up yesterday, as we saw Dak Prescott leaving practice early for the Dallas Cowboys out in California. Maybe a little arm strain, so some interesting things to look forward to. But what do you guys have coming up on the morning after today? Any good guests coming up? Any good talking points? What do you have?
We're always having a good time for 3 hours on the morning after, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. We're going to talk a lot of NFL talk. We're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers. He's going to walk us through a little bit of his press conference, which was crazy yesterday. Major League Baseball, we're going to have Craig Mish on from FST here on Sports Grid. He also writes for the Miami Herald. He's a major Major League Baseball insider, and he not only is going to give us some intake into what went on with the Yankees and the Gallo trade, but also the Starling Marte trade, because as I mentioned, Craig does cover the Miami Marlins, and that was a huge get for the Oakland Athletics, something that Craig thought was going to happen. He didn't know to which team. He just knew Marte was going to be dealt at the deadline.
Yeah, it seems like that's what the Marlins do. Quickly here, I saw you on social media yesterday. Lamar Jackson contacts COVID. How about those Baltimore Ravens? Not a great start to the season, huh?
I'd rather it happen now than happen later.
It's true.
Let Lamar sit out for some training camp. The only thing is, they didn't have one last year. Lamar has to improve that passing game.
You got it. Follow along with all the hottest topics on the morning after. Coming up next here with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens for the Early Line, I'm Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Non-stop live odds, lines, matchups, injury report, and news you can use. What are